Hello, everyone. This is Avish Parasher, the Motivational Smartass from MotivationalSmartass.com. And I'm sitting here with Mike Wirth, who is a friend of mine. Hey. And say hello, Mike.
Hello.
And I recently worked with Mike on a creative problem in the speaking arena. Mike's an incredibly creative guy himself. He works usually in the realm of music and video game music. His website is GameMusicInc.com, and he writes music, awesome music for video games, whether it's a giant, awesome game, or an iPhone app. If you need music, go talk to him. So he's very creative. And but, you know, sometimes you find yourself a little out of your element. So Mike, who presents quite well, I've seen him do presentations, but he was recently tasked with an interesting presentation demand that he got a little stuck on. And so he asked me for some help. And so what we're going to do now is talk about that process, kind of what he had to do, how he got stuck, and how we worked through that to put this speech together. And I'm hoping that as you're listening to this, you'll see how that creative process can work and what you can take away the next time you get stuck. Because I think where Mike got stuck is where a lot of people get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike, why don't you, instead of me talking about it, why don't you share with everyone this interesting speech you were required to give?
Oh, I was required, all right.
Yes, you were.
Well, this will be good because it'll tie back into like how you came into the picture, which was, I think, a 10 p.m. phone call for me. There are promises of wine and home cooking and things like that. My sister met this fantastic guy named Chris, and my sister's name is Tracy. And they wanted to have, in Pennsylvania, you are allowed to have a Quaker wedding, which basically means you can have whatever kind of wedding you want, and as long as the community shows up and all says aye instead of nay, then you get to get married. And they asked me to preside over it.
Right, and that means Quaker wedding means it. You don't need an official priest or holy man.
Right, exactly. That's the good point, because God knows I am not a holy man.
Yes, we all know that.
So so I but I was asked to preside over it, to actually manage the ceremony, officiate. So, I mean, the rest of it wasn't too bad. It was basically saying, "Come in at this point. Here's what you're going to read. This. Here are your vows." But I had to do the official, what in the Catholic Church would be called the homily, but it's really called the officiant's address, which is, you know, this 10-minute speech that's supposed to be full of meaning, not only to the couple getting married, my sister and my brother-in-law, but to 300 people sitting in the audience, many of whom I've known since childhood. And I needed to come up with a particular topic that was sufficiently specific to Tracy and Chris so that they would take away a lot from it, but then sufficiently universal so that the 300 friends and family that were there could take away some life lessons, some things to think about, you know, for their marriage.
Right. And I believe you also shared with me that you were concerned that you didn't want to make it too preachy in terms of, cause you're married as well and you have a daughter,
yeah.
But, you don't want to make it too much like, you know, here's my 4 years of marriage experience, you know, cause a lot of officiant
totally.
Addresses and homilies are very direct in terms of like good marriages, do X, Y, and Z.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. And we've seen some of those because Avish and I have been to many weddings. All of our friends keep on getting married. And so, you got to avoid that. In this wedding, we especially want to avoid that because it's not our place to say that, but it's like, who knows what the whole like teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Better to be like, hey, here's some things to think about when you run into whatever situations you're going to run into, which may or may not be the same situations that I've run into or that you've run into, you know? So you're right. It had to be that. It couldn't be preachy because it had to be thought provoking rather than thought injecting.
Right.
You know?
So you find yourself in this situation where a lot of people listening to this may find themselves where you have a presentation. Yours happened to be 10 minutes long. Now for some people, it could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour. It could be 20, whatever, but
yeah.
Presentation, it's a little bit out of what you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously qualified to do it because I've seen you speak. So, and you were asked to do it. So people had confidence in you. They did, right or wrong.
Exactly. We make no judgment.
Yeah. But that's what a lot of people find themselves in, that situation where people have seen them speak on something or just feel like when someone stands up and for 30 seconds in a conference room meeting speaks well, that, oh, that person should get up and do this.
Yeah, totally.
And you started out good. You had a good idea. So why don't you take us briefly through the thought process, that kind of how far you got just in your prep before we talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, and this is definitely personal to me, but this could work for a lot of friends. And I think it's something that you do a lot too, Avish, which is the first thing I did was I sat down and I said, what do I really love that I can create analogies to a successful marriage with? And I mean, that actually was the literal first thing. It wasn't like I sat down. I literally was like, I'm so stuck if I don't come up with something. Like, this presentation by allegory is awesome. And so I read off the bat, and this is probably because I have done a lot of speaking, probably because I did improv comedy with you for so many years. But my first instinct was like, don't just talk about marriage like marriage. Don't make it a 10-minute speech where it's like talking about the subject. Try and find some sort of metaphor or allegory that you know a ton about, and then basically spend 10 minutes and just draw analogies to it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, what do I like to do? Well, I like music. So I could talk about music. And that was, you know, I mean, and literally the first step I did was I grabbed ye old yellow pad of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There it is right there. So I was like, okay, well, I know a ton about music. So I could talk about music as an allegory for marriage and harmony and dissonance and all that stuff. I like sports. So I was thinking about trying to do basketball. I was, you know, but I mean, the thing was, I was just brain dumping. And I was like, I don't care if it's right or wrong. I just need to, because I was panicking. I was like, I have, you know, 2 months to do this, which seems like a long time. But, you know, when you're working full time and you've got a family and you're also putting together all the stuff for the, you know, putting together all the stuff for the wedding, like, you know, making sure that this person knows what to read. So I just did a brain dump, and the third thing that came out was a lot of the martial arts, which is, you know, what you and I have done for years and has been very, you know, prevalent. So the first step was just a brain dump with no judging. I was like, cool, can I talk about martial arts? Cool, can I talk about music? Can I talk about, you know, basketball? Can I talk about raising a family or being a father? And then what happened was I went back and I grabbed all the books that I remembered. And the reason why I liked that is if I remembered the books, then that meant they had an impact on me. So I didn't pull out a book of like dry music theory. I picked out a book of like musical anecdotes of like Beethoven, you know, because I was like, well, if I was remembering about Beethoven, there must have been something cool in there. And
right. Well, let me pause here for a second.
Yeah, you can direct me. There's so much to talk about with this.
Well, there's three things I wanted to make sure people listening take away. You've already said. Number one is you started at the top level, and a lot of people like to get so detail oriented in any kind of creative process, but especially in speech writing, they start thinking about what specifically words to say or what their points are, or even how they're going to start the speech. So number one is you started big picture. You said, okay, for you it was an analogy or metaphor. Okay, what's an analogy I can use? So the whole key there, I think we're talking about, is having a purpose to your speech, and you wanted the purpose of your speech to be an analogy that you could draw lessons out of.
Totally. And by the way, go with that. You know this because I sent it to you. The introduction was the absolute last thing I wrote, and I wrote it the day before I gave the speech.
And that's usually, I mean, that's really good speech writers will do that, because until you've got the body of the speech,
you don't know how to lean into it.
Right, and even the ending.
Yeah, I think the ending was 2 days before. Yeah.
So number one, you start with your purpose. Now, the purpose is usually the very last part of the introduction, but it's the first thing you come up with. So everything precedes the thing. You don't worry about the big opening or how you can get people's attention right off the bat, you know, but you need your purpose. That's the first thing you did. The second thing is the brain dump, and that's a great term for it. Just get the ideas out of your head. Too often, people will sit there and try to think of the right thing and self-edit. And it's so critical that you just get the ideas out, because sometimes once you let those ideas out, they formulate themselves. You start seeing a pattern, or you see things. I love doing it on paper, as you just said with your...
Yeah.
I mean, my condo is littered with legal pads because I'm constantly grabbing one and taking notes. And
oh, yeah, totally. And you also, by the way, this is just random, but I do this for music ideas, but grab your iPhone, get one of those free recording apps, or keep your MP3 player and just, you know, speak into it. I mean, that's a great thing.
And sometimes, I mean, I'll do it. I mean, don't visualize this, but a lot of my brainstorming comes in the shower.
I'm totally visualizing it.
But, you know, if I'm working on a part of my speech, that's a point where I get creative and I just start almost going through the speech out loud and letting ideas come. But the key is to let that creativity go, not editing
and no judging.
Just let it flow. And the third thing that people can take away that you did is that inspiration piece, which is going back to stuff that inspired you, that meant something to you. Like you went to your books on music and books on martial arts.
Yeah.
And like that was a great line you said, which is if you remember it, then obviously it resonated in a certain way and it's got something powerful to it.
Right.
I do the same thing when I'm working on a new segment of my speech. A lot of times I'll start listening to other speakers, some stuff I have on audio or video, and listening to stand-up comics if I'm going humor. I have a book on writing comedy that I'll read just because it's filled with examples of jokes. And none of these are because you're trying to steal ideas, but a lot of these are by the inspiration, because if you just let your mind open and flow, it'll trigger an idea which all of a sudden you'll start running with.
Totally.
Which I believe takes us to something that happened to you after you were reading some of your favorite books.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is where I got the kind of the spine of the speech, you know, kind of the core of it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's, you know, and of course, I think I learned that. You and I have kind of developed a lot of this because we work in conjunction so often. But yeah, it's when I did this brain dump, and this is what it is. If you don't judge and you just put stuff on the paper, then you go back a day or two later, which is what I did, you start to see things that leap out again and again. And you would have never seen that if you just bottled it up. You needed to get it out on something or record it in something so you keep on hearing the phrase, you know, phrase X comes over and over again. Phrase Y appears on paper over and over. That's your spine. That's your core thing. Because here's the thing. People don't get this, and I believe this. And this is the big thing that I was driving. The speech has to be authentic. If the speech is authentic, what people don't understand is if your speech is authentic, it doesn't matter if you're not a good speaker because it's true. And this, I'm sorry, guys, for all of you and all you girls who have given bad best man and maid of honor speeches, is because it wasn't authentic. Mm-hmm. You gave some crappy speech that was like, you know, when I first met you, I knew it was full of these flowery platitudes, and you read it on a website somewhere.
So, whereas, you know,
I'm sorry.
This is years ago. I heard a speaker talk about internet marketing. He's talking about how you can create ebooks and sell them online and how quickly you can generate them. Mm-hmm. And one of his examples that he generated in like, you know, 24 hours, he started making sales from conception to his first sale.
Delivery, yeah.
But it was like a book of best man toasts. And I'm like, really?
That's so contrived.
And he's talking about why it's a good product is because there are people, you know, like people listening maybe, who come up with a, like, they procrastinate even longer than you did.
Yeah.
So it's like a day or two before, they don't have an idea what to say, so they download a best man speech, like, oh, this sounds good. But you hit the nail on the head. And that's something I talk about in improv and speaking especially, mm-hmm. is authenticity, both authenticity of the topic and authenticity in your delivery. Which,
totally,
a little bit out of the scope of this, but that's something, you know, there's other stuff totally. On my site you can read about that. Well,
and that's the thing, the first step to the authenticity is finding something that your brain keeps on coming back to. And what happened is there's this great martial artist called Bruce Lee. You may have heard of him. He only did, you know, about five of the greatest movies of all time. But he keeps on having this phrase called be like water, and it was about the idea of flow and malleability and adaptability and surrounding an object rather than pushing it away, because if you throw a stone in a lake, the water envelops it. Well, long and short is this whole water thing kept on coming back throughout my brain dump. And so I was like, all right, well, let me just kind of run with this, you know, and kind of see. And this is where I hit my wall. But I'll get up to that with a little more detail. So I was really happy because I was like, okay, I've got this theme. It's a sufficiently universal theme, right? Because it's water. I can talk about water. I mean, like, what? I'd go to room people, and if I said something's like a cup of water, people wouldn't be like, what's water? You know,
right.
Like, you know, like if I went in and was like, life is like a seven chakras that you find in Hindu, you know, it'd be
right.
Like, or like, you know, the pressure point meridians of Chinese acupuncture, people would be like, what are you talking about? But everybody knows water.
Right. So that's another point. Universal ideas, especially, I mean, universal to your audience. Your audience is going to be mixed and completely general.
Right.
So it had to be a fundamentally human universal thing. If you're speaking to a specific industry, universal will be to your audience. So I've seen you do presentations to music groups.
Yeah.
So you can talk more detailed stuff. You can talk about, like, I don't know what you're talking about half the time I'm sitting in your music presentations, but that's okay because I'm just there as an observer.
Moral support.
But you want your topic to be universal to your audience. So if you're going to have a general audience, it's got to be something any human being could understand.
Totally.
If it's an industry niche, it's got to be, it can be more specific, but still universal enough that anyone in that industry will get.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And you're hitting the nail on the head. And so, all right, so at this point I was pretty good. I had like, I think I was brain dumping actually on Google Docs, which is another cool thing because that way when I got stuck, I was only an email away from you,
right.
Instead of like having to send them to you or whatever, but whatever works. The problem was this, I had all these great ideas and I could not get it into some sort of cohesive flow. I was too emotionally invested in each one of my ideas. I was like, I didn't want to get rid of this idea because it was like really kind of interesting. And this idea, I could have told a cool story about Tracy and Chris, and this idea, I could have told a cool story about Sarah and myself. And so it just was like, I couldn't get it into some sort of flow. It was like it was basically still a brain dump, you know?
Right. And this is the interesting challenge. I think a lot of people can relate to this.
Oh, I got so stuck.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, I think, relate to that. They come up with a vague idea,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they have a brain dump, and they may even have some vignettes or some points, but it's all still in that dumped form. So they're like, well, I have this idea. I want to talk about this, and here are a couple of things I know I want to talk about. Now, if you've seen an awful rambly speech, chances are the person got to this point and then said to themselves, I kind of know what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about, like for you, your speech would have been relatively rambly and incoherent and probably boring.
And fairly forgettable.
Yeah. if you had said, which a lot of people would do, which is, well, I know I want to talk about how a successful marriage is like water, and here's a couple of points I know I want to make, and here's an idea I have, and, you know, I got a basic gist, so I'll be fine. I'll just go and kind of flesh it out as I go.
I'll be fine.
And, you know, you'll laugh. But people do this for two reasons. Number one, they're stupid. Yeah. You know, because they don't realize that it's not that easy, and especially when the nerves get going because you're in front of people, it's an important day, it gets even harder. But number two is that they underestimate how difficult that is, you know, to really formulate those ideas and how important a good structure is. I don't think they even realize that, you know, a speaker who looks, the best speakers look unrehearsed, but chances are they have a real good outline at least, or a rehearsed script. Like totally. I go somewhere halfway between a script and an outline. So even though my whole topic is improvisation, you know, I know that preparation allows you to improvise well. So, I mean, I go in very clear on what I'm going to say.
Totally. Well, I mean, and go, you know what? I'm going to totally nerd out with a basketball analogy. Michael Jordan and Sir Charles Barkley. Cause that's Avisha's go-to. And I love Sir Charles. He's the round. He's amazing. The round man or rebound, baby. If you think about it, a basketball team comes in, they have a playbook. And when Charles sets up for like a high-low play, there's a motion of structure. But they rehearse it so well that if any player wants to deviate and be unrehearsed, he can. Mm-hmm. But he's unrehearsing based off an incredibly drilled structure that's so drilled it's like us walking or us, you know, just picking up a fork. So you got to drill it so that it's so rehearsed so that if you want to deviate and make it look unrehearsed, you're doing it because you have total control over, you know.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it depends on the speech. I mean, when I teach speaking, whether it's in a consult or in the 4-day speaking school, you know, I don't push absolute maximum memorization of the script, because if you're only giving a speech one, it's an inordinate amount of effort to really memorize it.
That's true.
And if you're inexperienced and you try to memorize it, if you forget a line in one place, you're screwed for the rest of the speech.
Right.
That's when people get really lost, is when they've got it. They're not... Memorization's not something they do.
They're like on train tracks.
Yeah, all of a sudden, yeah, they get a little bit derailed and they're screwed.
Yeah.
But memorize, having a structure, memorizing the structure.
That's what you gotta do, yeah. Which is like memorizing a play in basketball. You don't memorize the exact location where you are on the court. You memorize it, you have to go out to the three-point line.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So now, getting back to you, so you got stuck at this point, so
I called you.
This is the point where you said, hey, yeah.
My best friend happens to be a professional speaker and happens to do this every single week.
Well, I think the setup stuff is great. We've given people a lot of great ideas already for how to start their speeches. But I think this is that transition point. How do you go from that vague idea and brain dump to really putting it together? So
you call Avish.
Yeah. There you go. And there's a plug. MotivationalSmartAss.com.
Yeah, exactly. MotivationalSmartAss.com. Yeah.
But, you know, let's just say that someone's foolish enough not to call me.
Why wouldn't they?
So I just want to go through the process a little bit about what we worked on.
Right. And this is really, you should be taking the lead on this, because this was me. I called Avish and said, dude, I need you to help me. I have a ton of content. I know there's a good central theme here, and I've got it all in a Google Doc, and I need you to whip it into some sort of cohesive speech. And I knew the timeline. I knew it was like, it needs to be done in 2 weeks, and it needs to be 8 to 12 minutes. So that's one thing, is like, if you get, like, when you get to that next step, now you got to start to rope it in, and you got to put as many constraints as possible on it.
Right.
So I knew it was like, I knew the central theme, which was water and the martial arts. I knew it was for a marriage.
Yes.
And I knew it was going to be 8 to 12 minutes. And then I sent everything to you and was just like, dude, fix it.
Right. And then we got together. And, you know, I think the first thing, and this is almost going back to the beginning, is I think I asked you, you know, what do you want that one takeaway message to be? And, you know, I think that's the point you articulated, that, you know, that I think a successful marriage is like water.
Right.
And, you know, that right there is a huge step. It's not just knowing that you vaguely want to talk about the concept of water, which is where a lot of people have gotten to. It's being able to articulate. So that was one of the first things I did, was ask you.
Yeah, you kind of made me articulate. Get down to like one sentence, you know?
Right.
Where I was like, a successful marriage is like water because it's adaptable, fluid, and encompassing.
Right. Well, that's getting to the next step.
Oh, yeah.
So the first step was like water. And in fact, I think we even took it a step further. And this is something I talk about, is the more, and this is more important if you're doing a speech, like a business speech or a motivational speech or something like that, is to make it in terms of a call to action. So I think we took it one step further from the vague, I want to talk about water, to the topic of marriage, a good marriage is like water.
Right.
to the call to action statement, which everything else came from, which is, if you want to have a successful marriage, you should be like water.
Yes, yes. There was an actual statement of like, do this like water does it, and you will have this result.
Right. And that whole do this statement is how you put a call to action in your thing. So the first step, if you're feeling unfocused, is you've got your brain dump, is come up with that one sentence, because that's going to make a huge, everything else is going to flow from that, from the rest of your speech.
Right.
And so I think the next thing we did is, it was almost like I had you redo your brain dump talking to me. I said, okay, so how? Like, what do you mean by that? Yeah. And so you started talking about, well, you know, in the water is, and this is where you, so this is where you would go back to your brain dumps and pull out these points. So for you, it was, you started saying, well, water's, and you just kind of talked, said, well, water's adaptable, does this, and water flows, and yeah. You know, water doesn't have an ego. And all I did was, I just started writing down every key phrase you said about that. Like, water is this, water is this, water is this.
Right. So you were like distilling. Yeah, you were doing a lot of distilling, another water analogy. But again, yeah. You were like, you know, because what happened is I'd say the important point, then I'd ramble about it for like a minute or two, and you would just take the first point, be like, all right, now you've rambled, now you need to go on to the next point.
Right, and that's I think, where a lot of people get hung up on speeches, is you have so many things you want to put into your speech. So what you want to do is almost pick the, like mining for gold. You're picking the little gems that are going to be the statements of your points. So with yours, yeah. We ended up, I think you had like six good statements about how marriage needs to be like water. But for the sake of time,
right,
and for length, not just time-wise, but just how the mind operates,
yeah,
we narrowed it down to three.
Right. I'm a big believer in the rule of three in general. It's a big music concept. So, I mean, I think it would fit, you know, pretty well with me and my speech.
Yeah, and it's hard to go wrong with three. And I think there were water is, water adapts, water flows, and
water is nourishing, water nurtures and replenishes. Yeah.
So we had the 3 points, and I think what we did is we then we took that, and the next step. So now you've basically got your structure. You've got your main point, which is be like water.
Yeah.
And for successful marriages like water, you should be like water. We have your 3 supporting points, which is critical. And I think the next thing I did is, this is the standard structure. I talk about this all the time. I wrote an article on my blog about it called Using the Point Story Application Structure.
That was a big thing. I remember that was the first thing you said. You're like, well, every one of these points can have a story, and you'll go into it. But you were like, this is the like a central tenet to how you give speeches. And it really helped.
So I said, you state your point, and then, you know, you can give a little additional information about your point, explaining what you mean. So you said, so in your structure, like water is adaptable, that you said your point. And then you explained what you meant by that. Like, I'll... You know, if water, like the teapot, if you put water, water takes the shape of its vessel. So
right, so you put it into a vase and it becomes the vase, put it into the cup, it becomes the cup.
Right. So that explains what you mean by water is adaptable. Then you made a call to action point, which is like water, for a successful marriage, you too need to be adaptable. And then you told a personal story that you know about Chris and Tracy.
Right.
that demonstrates that point.
Right.
And that's the point, which you state and explain. You tell your story, which supports it, and then you'd finish up by reiterating the point in an application form.
Right, right.
So you'd say you continue to be successful in your marriage, you continue to adapt, or you must adapt to...
Moving to different roles with, you know, vessels and all that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's really all we did is for all 3 of those points, as we said. You know, so we started with your main point, we came up with the 3 little golden nugget points out of there that we put in a structure, and then we did point story application for each one.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've done this. That's what I use for my keynote. That's what I do for my workshops. That's what I do for business speeches. And, you know, you did this same structure for a wedding speech, or even a wedding toast is what, and what you do is very similar to a wedding toast. A lot of people would go
right.
in that direction.
Right. The only thing was mine was about, you know, twice as long as it should be. You know, it should be about 4 to 5 minutes. It should be like 2 to 4 minutes. So 3 times as
yeah,
long.
I mean, yeah. My wedding toasts are like 7 minutes long. But
yours are epic. Yeah, I have epic wedding toasts. There's a choir.
So I think the other thing about, in addition to point story application, the story bit is important because it really personalizes it.
Yeah.
And especially in this situation where it's a personal speech, you don't want to just give advice and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, that's weenie.
Yeah. Yeah. So
let's call it. It's totally weenie.
Yeah. So you told a story about there. I think you have a story from your own life in one of the instances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something they can relate to, something, but again, universal. You know, it's not like some really obscure story. Like,
that's the thing is you're showing it. The universal thing is so important, because I was talking to Sarah, my wife, and she's talking about some guy who once tried to give some speech. This was not for a wedding. It was for something else. And he was doing all the same concepts where he was like talking about a point and then he would give a story and a point. But he was talking about, I think, like third order astrophysics. Because nice. He was like, and it wasn't like Nye or Roger Warburton. It wasn't them. Like, those guys could do it right. It was some total nerd. The point is, he was doing everything right, except what he was talking about was so non-universal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think anybody who gives a speech, do not think that you know what you know really well, everybody knows.
And like, in fact, that is such an important point. My background's improv comedy. So when I do my keynote speeches and workshops, I'll use improv games as an example. And then I'll talk about the game that everyone just saw and everyone played because I had the volunteers play it. But what I used to do, and I've started taking out of my speeches, is I used to use some stories from my experience on stage improvising.
Uh-huh.
And I would tell a story about it. Because it's very personal and it relates to the topic. You think it relates to the topic of improv.
But sure, sure.
What I realize is people can't really relate to that. Because performing improv comedy is certainly not universal.
No.
And sadly, even watching improv comedy is not universal. Right. Like, if I was a famous football player, I could talk about football stories. Because most people at least understand football enough that they could relate to the story.
And so, exactly.
But, I mean, so my whole topic is improvisation. But that concept of making your stories and situations universal is strong enough that I use stories from my personal life and business life in my speech, taking out some of those old improv comedy war stories, because I'm like, yeah, it's great when I'm talking with my improv buddies, but 90% of the audience is going to look at me like, how do we relate to that?
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head. So,
all right. So, I mean, this is mostly what I wanted people to take away from this. Because once we got you to that point, you know, I think I left you with, we came up with a couple stories while I was there, and I left you with, you know, just maybe add a story here, and that kind of sent you.
Yeah.
Sent you on your way.
And that was what it was. Like, you helped to, you give a structure for every single, it was like, it's top down. So first the structure was find the main theme, find the spine, which was the whole water. Second was find all the ways that water does reflect a successful marriage and vice versa. And then you said, come up with a point story for each of these little niblets. And then because I had constrained it to 8 to 12 minutes, and because I know that definitely less is more, I started culling.
Right.
And I got rid of, I think, 3 of the 6 points. And just said, you know, it has to be that way, you know, and that's hard, but you have to do that. You have to say, you have to be willing. You know what? One of my buddies is a game developer down at Icarus Studios, and he says, you have to be willing to kill your babies.
Yeah.
He actually said it far, far worse. You have to be willing to kill your babies. You have to be willing to put them up on the wall and cut them in half. And, you know, it's, he went far, far darker. Yeah. But
yeah, anyways, it's an important thing. It's, yeah, it's nothing. You got to realize that no line, no story, no joke, no point is so precious.
It's so sacred, yeah.
Yeah, it's, and you're absolutely right. The more you give, the longer your speech gets, the more people zone out, the less they take away.
Yeah, totally.
And especially if you go more than 3. And you know what you did, which was nice, because I was in the audience and saw it.
Oh, he's gonna share the love, man.
Yeah, and so you, at the top, you said, I'm gonna share, you said something about, you know, water is, I'm gonna share 3 ways that water is like marriage. Yeah. And that, what that does is that whole expectation and framing thing. If you don't say, I'm going to give you 3 points, then after each point, everyone's going to be wondering, well, how many more is he going to do? Is this the last one? Is this
And then they're really attuned to the time, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of the, just the real, I want to make a real thing about calling it, you know, I was involved in Toastmasters, where you're supposed to do 5 to 7 minute speeches. So I remember one time where one guy did a speech, and it's 5 to 7 minutes, and he's talking about some pretty big concept, something, I think, economical-wise.
Right.
And he said, and he kind of did his intro, which takes in of itself 30 seconds to a minute. And then he said, I'm going to share with you the 5 things about this. Now, you think if he's going to do that, that's a lot for a 5 to 7 minute speech. And you think he'll just go through each one, but, you know, he clearly hadn't practiced the speech because I think the first one took like 2.5 minutes. You know, second one, his speech went over time. And I think finally he like wrapped it up at like 9 minutes and you're not supposed to go long.
Yeah. You're all like giving the kill sign and all that.
So,
yeah.
So cut if you want to be,
I mean,
successful.
I was, this is random, it's just conversational, but I was thinking about all these, you know, of course, it's part of the research and stuff with music. I was going through a lot of great music quotes, and this doesn't tie, I ended up not using this, but in terms of like how powerful a short statement can be, I was going across great song lyrics and John Lennon's song lyric, All You Need Is Love. And if you think about that, I mean, just take that, all right, we all know All You Need Is Love, it's a great song. Literally, how powerful is that once, literally, John Lennon could walk up to a world peace conference and he could say, All you need is love. Walk off the stage, and that would be one of the most profound speeches you could give. 5 words, you know? So it's like, when people think, I have to speak more. No, you don't.
Yeah.
War, what is it good for? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to be cheesy, but I'm saying, like, you can really be, if you distill if you really focus on culling and refining and carving away the non-essentials, you can just be, you can create some really profound stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm not saying I did the John Lennon thing, but I'm saying the culling is important.
Believe me, I'm pretty verbose. But even then, I understand the value of a, and I cut a lot of stuff. I mean, you got to leave a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor. And most artists, writers, comedians will tell you the key to coming up with great stuff is to generate a lot of bad stuff.
Yep.
And so it's almost like your success will be very related to how much stuff you leave on the floor. You know, if you just sit down and take 5 minutes and say, well, these are 3 points I'll make, and that's all you come up with, chances are there's a whole lot better stuff you just didn't even get to.
Yeah, it's true.
So you got to be willing to cut, realizing that, and just pick the best. That's what makes great speakers great, is you have no idea the amount of crap they've tossed out.
Oh, yeah.
Or not even crap, but stuff that's pretty solid, but they've tossed it out because it's not gold.
Right, exactly. Or they got to the pretty solid, they kept on soldiering through, and they got to the really good stuff. Like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has a Bruce Springsteen room, and Bruce, I think, donated like all of his sketchbooks with lyrics and chord progressions, and they're like reams of paper, inches thick of songs that never made it. For every song that he published, and you know, this is not Bruce Springsteen is the God or not God. Anybody who's written that many number one hits, you know, that guy's got a career. For every song that he did, I think he wrote like 12 to 15 songs that he discarded. So he's at less than 10% success ratio, and yet he's one of the most successful solo artists we've had. You know, so
you got to keep cutting.
But anyways, right.
So speaking of cutting and keeping it short.
Oh, that's good. We're at 31 minutes. This is about right for a podcast. Sorry, I bumped the mic. Sorry about that.
Okay, so to wrap up, I think that's pretty much, because the main thing I wanted to cover, I've done a 3+ hour teleseminar on all the various aspects of great speaking, so I don't want to go on that. What I really want to talk about is that block step that I know everyone hits, which is, you've got this big thing coming up, or in your own head, it's a big thing, whatever, and you get to that point where you have your vague ideas and you've done a little bit of creativity, but how do you turn that into something? And that's kind of what we did. So that's what I want to talk about. So to recap, number one, do the brain dump, because you got to get those ideas out there where you can see them.
Right.
And then pick from them.
Right.
Number two, come up with your main key statement. Right. What's the one point you want that audience to take away?
And you'll be able to find that, because when you do that big brain dump, you'll see words and phrases that keep on showing up again and again and again.
Right. The stuff that repeats.
Put them in a list. Yep. Put them in a list. Write it down, and that's going to be somewhere in there is your main theme or your main spine.
Right. And then once you've got your main theme, try to rephrase it in a call to action. So instead of be like water, or be like water is the call to action. Yeah. So instead of
marriage is like water.
Marriage is like water. I want to talk about water. The phrase is, if you want to have a successful marriage, be like water.
Here's how you behave like water to have a successful marriage. So we made it active.
Then you need to come up with your points. And again, go through your brain dump and pick out the real gems, the real points that support. What do you mean by your theme of be like water? Or how can a person be like water? So what are the, and you can have more than three to start.
You should be shooting to like for 6 to 8.
Yeah, get a bunch of points and then pick your top three. And you can pick your top three later. You can flesh out all 6, 10, 20, whatever, and then go back. Then turn each one into a point story application. So make your point like you've picked out from the gold. Explain it a little bit. And here's what you really wanted. This is where people get too verbose. Is try to be as concise as possible when explaining your point. Because the story is really what people are going to take away and remember.
Mm-hmm.
So be concise in your point. Come up with a story, a good personal story. Now, don't kill yourself if you can't come up with one. I think there was one where you couldn't come up with one.
Yeah, it was the last one. It was the weakest of the three. So we're just like, well, let's just drive on.
Yeah. And so, you know, but you can keep it shorter. If it's not totally about you, that's fine. You can use an example. But for the most part, try to come up with stories that are relevant, that are from your experience, are relevant to you and your audience. Then finish each point, reiterating the point with a call to action application. Like water adapts to its environment, you must adapt to the changing circumstances that are around you.
Right.
Boom. Done. Do that, and then pick your three. And now you've got really fleshed out. Your speech is pretty fleshed out now. You've got your thesis statement, which is the be like water.
Right.
Your 3 points. And then all you got to do is add an intro and a conclusion to that. I'm not going to go in depth into there because, let's be on the scope right now. I've already talked for long enough. The main thing I want to talk about is how do you take your random creativity and construct it into a viable speech?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it worked.
So tell us how it went. What was the feedback afterwards?
It was phenomenal. It was amazing. The best thing ever. It went really well. First of all, what was nice was because we worked so hard on it, it came out exactly at 11 minutes, which was perfect. It was supposed to be 8 to 12. It came in at 11. It went really great. Fortunately, Avish from the audience, because he's a friend of the family's as well as my best friend. And so he was there to kind of like watch his little protege do his thing. But, it came out really well. And what was phenomenal, here's what was phenomenal. Okay. Everyone came up afterwards and was like, oh my God, it was amazing. One of the best things I've ever heard. So inspiring. Here's what was funny. And here's when you know your speech sticks, is throughout the rest of the evening when events would happen, I saw at least four times someone turn to someone else and say, be like water, gotta flow.
Oh, yeah, that's
be like
best.
Water, you gotta adapt, you know? Like, yeah, that happened when, the first example was with Chris and Tracy when it was way too cold for us to walk from the hotel to Rittenhouse Square to get pictures. And so Chris was like, well, we'll have to just take the bus and drive. And all the girls were in these beautiful, like, but very short and very, you know, non-insulating dresses. And one of the best men was like, Chris, you gotta be like water. Chris was like, I am like water, I am flowing. And I was like, there you go. And then,
which is actually a side benefit to keeping your point short and concise.
And crystal clear, yeah.
Yeah, so be like water is a very concise statement. It's easier for people to remember. It's easier for people to repeat.
Yes.
And if you're listening to this with aspirations, or you currently are a professional, this is gold. I have a couple phrases that people repeat out of my speeches. I do the same thing. I hear them afterwards saying yes and to each other.
Oh, yes and, yes.
And I hear them saying ding to each other. And goal is actually to weave more of those phrases into my speeches, because the more memorable you are, the more rebookable you are. And that's what we all want.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And the more value they get. Because if the phrase that you create, Avish, is being helps them benefit from situations months down the road, that's why they pay you. It's like you don't pay, it's not like they're buying a hamburger from you. It's like,
Right, yeah, it's gonna be long lasting. And so what yours was, because now as the officiant's address, your goal was not just to have one of your goals was to give them a great wedding, but it was actually to give them some advice that maybe they'll remember
months and years throughout different situations. Yeah. So, it was a great success. I mean, everyone was complimenting me. And of course, I was like, dude, Avish totally hooked me up. And da-da-da. But fortunately, most of my family knows that Avish is a professional speaker. So they're like, yeah, of course, Avish, I was like, no, it went great though.
I want to make it clear that, I was happy to see it all went well. I was really glad to help. But I mean, the main thing that, going back to you talking about, the guy with the ebook, you can buy a best man toast. I mean, the difference here is, and what I said to people, because like your father or mother said, thank you so much for helping Mike. And I said, listen, all I did was take the stuff you already had and what was in his head and help him kind of flesh it out and add some structure.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's not about, you didn't come to me and say, can you write my speech for me?
No.
It was let me help you add some structure. Right. And that's really what you want if you get help with your speech. You don't want someone telling you to say this or say that unless they really know you. And they can kind of write in your voice.
Right.
Because that's where it sounds inauthentic, like you said at the top. You got to be authentic. So.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So definitely, if you're going to get help, make sure they're asking you questions and helping you flesh out what you want to say and not putting words in your mouth that aren't really yours.
Yeah, totally. So it was a great success. It was awesome. And I mean, I think this is the lesson for your team is there, ready to go.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for sharing that information with us. So
always, man.
Once again, this is Mike Wirth, musician extraordinaire, excellent composer. You can find out more about Mike at Game Music Inc. That is GameMusicInc.com, not INK. Game Music Inc., like Game Music Incorporated.
Oh, you're a kind man of Ish.
So check that out. And you can find out more about me and the Motivational Smartass at motivationalsmartass.com. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
Good night. Thank you, Avish. Bye-bye.